Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. So let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen Son, whom I love. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. My sisters and brothers, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The
theme we get in every single Lenten season is of being a pilgrim on journey to Easter. 40 days, not where it's meant to be full of doom and gloom, but where the church actually tells us it's a season of joy. And on this second week of our journey, our pilgrimage, we're given the Transfiguration, which is meant to be about the transformation of our lives in the love of Christ. Well, let me tell you a story about a time when both a pilgrimage of faith in Lent led to a significant transformation. In the second year of the Jesuit novitiate, the Jesuit novices in Australia are dropped 200 miles from our first house in Australia. It's at Seven Hill in the Clare Valley in South Australia. The Austrian Jesuits founded it in 1848. Seven Hill is to this day a parish, a retreat house, and thank God it's a winery. With 40 cents for an emergency phone call, a letter for the police because we are officially vagrants, and with a backpack on our back and a sleeping bag within it, you have to walk the entire 200 miles begging every single day for your food and accommodation. The novice master told us that we couldn't tell anybody who we were and what we were doing. We couldn't trade off being a Jesuit. But he said in case we were invited into somebody's home to stay the night, we could tell them who we were and what we were doing, just so they wouldn't be anxious they'd invited Jack the Ripper to stay the night. But if in the first instance they offered the garage and a sandwich, and then we get inside and they find out we're Jesuits and now they want to offer the guest room and the dining room table, we were told you can't get an upgrade from coach to first class. You have to take the first offer, whatever it is. Those 10 days were the only time in my life that I've known anything like hunger, even in these most contrived of circumstances. If I knocked on your door this afternoon and told you I had nothing to eat and nowhere to stay, would you let me into your house to stay? Some people are nodding yes. Where were you when I needed you most? Understandably, people were worried about, well, welcoming us into their home, but food, on the whole, they were very generous. I stayed in hostels for the homeless men run by the St. Vincent de Paul. I broke into a broken-down old schoolhouse on the side of the road. I camped out in bandstands, and a couple of nights I slept out under the stars. On day 6 of the pilgrimage, I arrived into the town of Saddleworth, and in the teeming rain at 7 p.m. at night, I was drawn by the big blue cross that hung over what I was soon to discover was to be the Catholic Church. There was nothing in the rules that said you couldn't beg from churches. You just can't tell them who you are and what you're doing. So I walked up the steps of the rectory and met one of the greatest priests I have ever met. I gave out my spiel, and at the end I said, "Father, I'm wondering if you can put me in touch with the local St. Vincent de Paul." Then in his wonderful Irish brogue, he said, "You're looking at the local Vincent de Paul." And I said, "Well, Father, I'm wondering if you can..." "All right, I'll help you, all right." He said, "We've got the schoolroom. We don't use it anymore. There's a bunk bed, there's a towel, and there's a shower. I'll put you in that for the night. God knows you're water at you, absolutely soaked to the skin." And he said, "Well, I'll give you $5 for the cafe for dinner tonight and $5 for breakfast in the morning. Then you've got to get lost. Is that a deal?" This was the best deal I'd had in 6 days. But I left town the next day, not telling that priest who I was and what I was doing. On the second last day of the pilgrimage, I arrived in the village, really 1,000 people, a town called Auburn. And I went to the biggest house in town. And there I met the redoubtable Mrs. Mary McMahon. She grilled me on her front doorstep about who I was, where I was from, how I came to be in such need. I never told a lie. But being a good Jesuit, I didn't tell the whole truth either. And after the interrogation, she plucked herself up to a full 5-foot stature, and in her very broad Australian accent, she said, "All right, I reckon I can trust you. You can come in tonight, you can have dinner with the family, they're all coming over. I'll put you in the guest room, I'll give you breakfast in the morning, and then you've got to be gone. Okay?" Okay. When I got inside, I told Mary who I was and what I was doing, and she changed completely. She said, "Get out of here." And I thought for a moment she meant it literally. Then she said, "You haven't been sent out as a spy, have you?" And I said, "Why would you think I've been sent out as a spy?" And she said, "Well, I'm a Catholic, aren't I? And I go to the local Sacred Heart Catholic Church for Mass on Saturday night, and the Jesuits look after this place from Seven Hill. And I've always grown up in a Jesuit parish, and God knows those Jesuits are always going on about a faith that does justice in the world, how we've got to be men and women for others. And I thought you guys must have been plonked all over the parish to see whether we've been listening to all those sermons all these years." Now, that's a tough old parish. They send out spies to see if you're listening to the homily. "Monsignor, I think it's got great potential." I assured Mary I was not a spy, but complimented her on her extraordinary generosity, to which she turned and she said, "Well, listen here, sunshine, let's face it. I thought I could have trusted you, because you are without question the most articulate, well-spoken beggar I've ever met in my life." I had a great night with Mary and her family, and it was a long and liquid dinner. We're in the Riesling Valley of Australia. And the next morning after breakfast, I was on my way as instructed. When I got to the last place on my pilgrimage before getting to Seven Hill, a tiny little village, there was only one person on a Sunday afternoon I could find in town. The rest, I found out later, were off watching or playing the local football final. And I went through this woman was in her front her front yard weeding her garden beds. So I went through her gate and I gave out my spiel. "Hello, I'm Richard Leonard. I'm going through to the Clare District to get work on one of the wineries to get my passage back to Sydney. I have nowhere to stay tonight and nothing to eat, and I'm wondering whether you can help me with either or both." To which the woman looked up from her garden beds and said, "Are you the Jesuit who stayed with Mary McMahon last night?" I said, "Yes, that would be me." She said, "Oh yes, she gave me a call this morning and said to keep a good eye for you out on the road. That's why I'm doing my front garden beds and not the back garden beds today." The McMahon family came down and joined the Brisky family, and we had another long and liquid dinner in the Riesling Valley of Australia all over again. When I got to Seven Hill, I wrote to that wonderful parish priest who'd been so kind to me the night before, and I told him that, in fact, "Father, you looked after a Jesuit novice that night without knowing it, And I said, if, please God, one day I'm ordained a priest, I hope I will be a pastor of the body and the soul in the same magnificent way that you were to me that night. You were a model of Christian charity. When I got back to the novitiate in Sydney, there was a letter waiting for me from the pastor. This is what it said. I was educated by the Jesuits for my entire education in Limerick in Ireland. I hated every single minute of it. If I'd known who you were and what you're up to, I would have kicked your backside and told you to get out of town. But even now, the crafty Jesuits have found me on the other side of the world, and they've got one more over me. And then incredibly he said, and God bless you in your beautiful Jesuit vocation. Obviously to go and hunt people on the other side of the world to get one over on them. On that road, over those 10 days in Lent, I learnt more about what our Lenten journey was about than in the previous 25 years of my life. I learnt three things about Lent that have stayed with me to this day. The first is that I discovered that travelling light is the way to go. Whatever possibly weighs you down personally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually this Sunday, then try and leave it behind. Work on letting it go. Lent is a season of joy because it's about getting free and staying that way. Traveling light is what Lent is all about. The second thing I discovered on that road is how important prayer, penance and fasting actually are, not to make us feel bad about ourselves, but to mirror the hunger of our soul in the hunger of our body. I was literally hungry on that road regularly, and it matched our spirit's hunger for God's love. And thirdly, don't let anyone tell you that transfiguration is all about a mountaintop for Jesus. It's certainly that, but it's so much more. Transfiguration is about all of us every day experiencing God's love, being called by name through the kindness and love of others. So this week, you will meet people who will come nowhere near a church and have not heard that glorious gospel of the Transfiguration. But your love, your care, your words, your kindness could be for them a moment for the glory of God's love to break through in their life. So as you come forward to receive Holy Communion or a blessing or a prayer this Sunday, simply say amen to one important moment that can transfigure your life this Lent. Hear the Lord say to you as he said to his own son, "You are my son. You are my daughter, and I love you."